All right, welcome to Monday morning, day 43 of our 49 days. Okay, so this morning we're going to start with some tortoise breathing. So let's just start with the pattern of breathing in deeply into the lower abdomen and allow the front of the abdomen to swell outwards and then the sides and then into the back. And just exhale in the same way, from the back to the sides and to the front. So you can also bring that association into the imagery of the egg and the yolk, which we'll come back to. So we're going to get into some more detail with tortoise breathing this morning. So if as I go through this sequentially as I can and introduce two more things, if it's not coming across very clearly, then just let me know and type in a question or something. So as we get more aware of all the little details, we have been talking about contracting the perineal floor, which would include basically the muscles you use when you're finished going pee, the muscles you use that have to do with sexual function for men and women in different ways, and then the muscles that have to do with when you go poo. So the idea is to contract them kind of front, middle, and back. And as you're contracting those muscles, front, middle, and back, that should give you a sense of not only just a place, but a platform. And as you contract that, those muscles in that sequence, the idea is to tilt that platform towards just below your belly button. So let's just try that to inhale and just focus on the contraction, one, two, three, and then towards just below your belly button. So we'll inhale, contract, and just hold the contraction to the front of your body all the way in. And then just relax. So now we'll do the same thing. Contract all three, one, two, three, towards the belly button. Inhale. And really feel the belly button move away outwards. And then take the contraction and tilt it backwards so it feels like it's now pointing towards your low back. And then as you breathe out, just allow the contraction of your abdomen to become like a tire where it just squeezes in. Or did I jump ahead there? Maybe I jumped ahead there, right? So if we're going to inhale just to the front, pardon me, that was my bad. Then we can tilt the contraction towards the back. And then just as you exhale, keep that contraction where it is. Sorry, we'll do that again. So inhale, contraction tilting towards the front, all the way in. And then tilt the contraction towards the back and just hold that contraction as you breathe all the way out, allowing your belly, but especially your belly button, to pull in towards your spine. So inhale, tilting that platform towards the front, letting everything swell towards the front. And then the sides and the rest of the belly. And as you exhale, tilt the contraction towards the back and let the whole belly squeeze in and the belly button towards the spine. So let's do that more thoroughly. So take a moment, just breathe normally. Excuse me. And now we're going to work on feeling a contraction tilt and then kind of split all the way around the sides. So we're going to take a deep breath, find the contractions, one, two, three, tilt them forward, inhale, and then see if you can feel it splitting towards the front corners and the sides, back corners still inhaling, and in the back, and then holding that and that feeling of the belly being expanded all the way 360 degrees. We just press all the way out as we exhale. Again, bringing your belly button towards your spine. So hopefully that's familiar, and eventually it becomes one wave all the way around from the front to the back, and then all the way at the 360 all the way down to the middle. So just to review the rocking, because that's going to be important. So as we inhale and the contraction tilts, so instead of just feeling like the perineal floor is going to tilt, what we're going to do is rock the body back onto the perineal floor a bit, holding that contraction up. So it's almost like your belly, it's almost like your belly rolls and sits on top of your tailbone a bit. So let's just try that. So I inhale and then let my body sort of rock backwards. Now you can actually feel the tailbone almost curling up and pointing towards your belly button. So that just reinforces that connection. And just inhale, rocking back. Or exhale, pardon me. Inhale, rocking onto your sacrum. And also almost like you're doing a bit of a sit-up, but into the space. And then as you exhale, squeeze 360. Press down with your tailbone, up with the top of your head, and then kind of out with your eyes. So inhale, rocking back. 360. Exhale, 360 all at once. Rocking so that you feel taller. So as we play with that, eventually you're going to get familiar enough with all of those pieces, which hopefully you are already, that you're going to start noticing that when you're rocking your tailbone back and forth, that you're not actually sitting on your tailbone. And that's important because you're actually sitting on two little bones called your acetabulum, or your sitting bones. And when you're playing with those contractions of the front, middle, and back of the perineal floor, and you're rocking, you are going to start to notice on a very tangible level the two points of connection you actually have to what you're sitting on, which are those bones. And because you're contracting a lot of muscles between them, you're going to start to feel the connection to those bones and the contraction connection to those contractions up into your body. So what people inevitably start to feel when they're playing with that, especially with the rocking, is that the contraction gives you a sense that there's those two points, that platform, and wherever you point the platform creates like a triangle up into the body. That might sound woo-woo, but after a while it's just sort of naturally how you feel your muscles in there. So the idea with the rocking we'll come back to, but we want to be able to just sort of find a place where we can rock that platform of the perineal floor around, but more importantly, we can try and point the point of the triangle around, because what we want to start with is finding an inner association. It's not a place, an inner association we call dantian. And that term just means the field that you're cultivating. So dantian could be your little finger if you're thinking about your little finger, or your thumb if you're thinking about your thumb, or your nose, your ear. So it isn't meant to be a literal place in the sense of what a chakra might mean. but it is where your attention is actually doing most of the effort. And the place that you want to feel as you're rocking back and forth, as that triangle tilts around as you rock back and forth, a space that actually feels like the center of all of that volume of where you breathe into. So let's just explore that volume. And instead of playing with the sense of the egg being your whole body, let's think of the egg as being between your upper diaphragm and your lower diaphragm. So it's a lot smaller. So just breathe into that egg, just between your belly, your diaphragm and your perineal floor, all the way around, all the way out. That feels like my egg's so small now, but it's just a place to bring your awareness. So can you feel the volume that's just between your diaphragm and your perineal floor? It's a weirdly shaped egg. if you can do that and also do the rocking. Just to make sure you can feel that there's a variety of kind of locations that are happening. So now we're the egg is just your diaphragm to your perineal floor. You can rock back and forth. You can still use the perineal floor to direct the sense of pressure and volume. But what's eventually going to start to happen is that sense of volume or the sense of space you're working in is going to get kind of small, because you're looking for a central way of moving now instead of actually filling every space you can feel. You're actually trying to, what you're actually going to feel is the actual volume that's happening in your gut as you're breathing. And then when you find that little triangle as you're rocking back and forth, you're going to feel that triangle pointing to what feels like the middle of that space, which is usually between your belly button and your back, somewhere kind of low in your belly. It doesn't really matter where. What matters is that you're actually just trying to find it. So as you rock back and forth, pointing your triangle into your belly, that would be step one, is to see if you can find the center of that whole volume. And if you find that, one really powerful option is just to stay still and breathe very, very coherently and consistently into that whole volume physically, but into that space with your yolk. And then that becomes like the center of your yolk. And it's important to play with this for fun and for the experience of finding something very tangible and subtle. It doesn't matter that happens or not, or that happens in a hurry or not. It's just a place to play. So again, Dantian is this experience we have of an opportunity to bring all of our awareness into a smaller part of ourself, and it could be anywhere. And we direct that idea of Dantian with that triangle of contractions, because we want to make sure Dantian isn't just an idea. It's a connection of the mind's awareness, the actual breath itself, and how we breathe around that place. And then all of the muscles that actually organize that movement and point, you could say, that triangle. So a lot to do. Whoa! But if you can find a mind, breath, and muscle habit, sensation, tangible place in your being, that you can use rocking and breathing and your muscles to actually locate and kind of contain in a way, and then feel like it's actually a resourceful place, like the yolk of an egg, and you can feel that yolk, then you can actually begin breath work in the more Taoist tradition anyway. So here's the next thing that we want to do. And there's no hurry, so it's not like, oh, I better do this too. Just put this on the list of fun things to do when you're in meditation and you really feel the most appropriate thing to do is become very aligned with your body and those six minds, and we're going to learn about some other minds in a minute. So, Project A, tortoise breathing. Project B, tortoise breathing with your Dantian triangle. Project C is to just build the yolk in and around that location for fun. Could be anywhere. It's more of a context than what's really going on. I guess this would be D. The next thing would be to actually begin using your breath, your tortoise breathing, the rocking, the contractions, and the awareness of connection with that triangle, to begin to open every single vertebrae from your sacrum up into the base of your head. So, what we're trying to do is just find the lowest joint in your body. And as you're breathing and contracting, you want to actually use that lateral kind of stirring movement when you're inhaling, and then a more elongating when you're exhaling. Or you could flip that over, actually. But you want to be able to spend, and the traditional way that this goes is for 100 days, your meditation primarily consists of orientation to the tortoise breathing, to Dantian, excuse me, and then to each vertebrae as you try and open. That's the wrong word. As you curiously and patiently explore feeling the openness of each of your vertebrae from the bottom up. And there's really, I can't think of anything else to say about that except just play with it. So if I was to do that right now, I'd be doing a tortoise breath inhale, feeling my whole abdomen, opening my back, tilting, finding the triangle and bringing it into just the top of my sacrum, and then moving around a little bit as I breathe out, rocking forward, and just seeing if I can find that balance between kind of the tango or whatever dancing that would be like this, with that kind of meditative pose and poise of being elongated. So that's a really, really good start for most of us, I think. And again, that's usually done for 100 days, just to clear the channels of your spine for what we actually now know that we're doing mechanically with cerebral spinal fluid. So now we're going to do a little quick pass through the three spiritual minds or the three shamanic minds. So hopefully we're really intimately aware of the mind in your sacrum, of your sacrum, through your sacrum, and then your spine, and then your gut and belly, and your heart, and your face, and your pupils, right? Because your sacrum is your aliveness, your spine is your adaptability, your gut is your intuition and sense of belonging, your heart is your heart in every sense, as well as the center of beingness. Your face is the egoic mirror of being a personality, and your pupils are just pure perception. So, anyone who spent any period of time really attending to all of those minds and the breathing and the practice is naturally going to become more conscious of what consciousness is, more, I guess, of a Jedi about how attention works and things like that. And usually for the first while with these practices, as we know, the real big shift is going from a narrative-driven experience of consciousness to a state inclusive, if not a state-driven experience of consciousness. So that's a really important distinction to make, is that with those minds, we are becoming capable of shifting the source of drives towards constantly chatting, because we're trying to undo the meditation homework a little bit. You could also say that balance is between the experience of self as a self and self as a story. If I was to get more of a physics way of saying it, we're exploring the distinction between what is and what if. And that's basically most of what your mind is up to. Excuse me. So we spoke quickly last night about the idea of stalking and how that's a very gradual kind of maturing experience. And we've been stalking ourselves from a fairly innate point of view, instinctual point of view, social point of view, and an existential point of view. And now what we want to do is get into what would make sense if you've already organized very coherently the rest of your being. And that's going to be those three minds. And fundamentally, we're going to be looking at the mind that I would describe as your visioning mind, and then the mind that I would usually call as your sky mirror, and then another one that I would usually describe as your earth garden. So the inner vision mind is your pineal gland, which we're working towards with all of this breath work. And your pineal gland is actually like an eyeball. It has what are called rods and cones, just like you have in your eyes, that point outwards. It's just your pineal gland points at itself, and it has the chemistry and biochemistry and biology and some mechanics that actually can produce enough light for you to actually see stuff. So it's often called your third eye, or some people call it your first eye, which I think sounds more appropriate. So when we're doing all of this breath work and opening up the spine, we are going to be working towards something throughout the week where we're going to start really affecting the pineal gland in three or four different ways, with the cold showers, the breath work, and all of this work with your contractions in your spine. Because if we can begin to change the mechanics of your pineal gland, you should be able to, maybe once a month or something like that, go into a bit of a trance state practice to really open up the visioning part of your experience for guidance and for, you know, journeys and mysteries and things like that. So we're going to get into more detail over the next few days about that, but carefully, because we're not trying to blow ourselves open. We are going to be getting into the teaching on what's called the Sky Mirror Tomorrow, which is a really interesting approach to what people would call a spiritual relationship. After that, we're going to get into the soil and the swamp, which is kind of a metaphor for all the messy karma that happens down here in the world. And then we'll get into some Qigong at the end of the week. But just wanting to give people a sense that this breath work is the foundation of it. Opening your spine is the foundation. And then we can actually practically and predictably work with your pineal gland with a very particular association with what's coming down from the sky, and a very rooted relationship with what's going on below us through the earth. So hopefully that gave you some more detail about the tortoise breathing and how to get that moving. I encourage you to commit that 100 days to opening your spine over and over and over again. It's pretty yummy. Tomorrow we'll get together and review this a little bit more. I'll spend maybe a minute or two on the mechanics of what's going on in your pineal gland, just if you're curious exactly how that works and how to make it work better. And then we'll get into the teachings on the Sky Mirror tomorrow. Last week, folks, woo, here we go. Hopefully by the end of this, you'll have a very coherent sense of these kind of practices. So have a great Monday. Not too much coffee, but just enough.